This is a Rabble Podcast Network show. New voices in your head. It's Radio Free Radio.
I'm here with Bushra Jalabi from the Montreal Syrian Collective. Now, Bushra, what has happened lately in Syria? Can you give me a little bit of context about what's going on?
Well, it's been now 11 months that the Syrian people have took to the streets in the larger context of the Arab Spring, where after Tunisia and Egypt, people became more empowered, even though a lot of people did not think that the Syrian people will actually take to the streets because of the level of repression that the Syrian regime exercises over its people. Eventually, it all started in the south of Syria, where a bunch of kids, around 10 kids, wrote on the walls of their school that the people want the fall of the regime, which is a sentence that has been said over and over across the region. These kids were arrested and were not given back to their parents. And so this has actually sparked the whole thing, because parents went on the streets with their families, and in the southern city of Daraa, where everyone went on the streets holding olive branches and asking for dignity and freedom. At first, people in Syria did not ask for the fall of the regime. And they just asked for freedom and dignity, which is, I guess, even bigger than the fall of the regime, in my opinion. But this was responded by bullets, live bullets, tanks, arrest, torture, whatever, you know, all the things that we're hearing, grave human rights violations of the Syrian people. And it just snowballed into a whole uprising in the whole country. So one city after the other, one suburb after the other, took to the streets in support, in solidarity with another city or another town, and was also met with repression and violence. And once a few people get killed in a place, the next day you have the funerals. It even becomes a bigger demonstration and a bigger protest, and it just snowballed from one region to the next in Syria. And now the whole country is in a popular uprising. And in the recent weeks, we have seen that it intensified hugely in Homs, where it's been ongoing shelling and bombardment of the city. The city is under siege, and many neighborhoods are under continuous bombardment and shelling.
Now, do you have family members and loved ones that are still in Syria?
I have my extended family in Syria and many friends. I used to go every year to Syria. I have a lot of friends that are activists and that have been in and out of prison. One of my best friends is Yahya Sherbaji. He was a field activist, and he was organizing nonviolent protests in Daraya, which is a suburb in Damascus, which is known, has become the capital of the nonviolence movement in Syria, because these are committed young people who have been actually active even before the uprising, who tried to form a sort of a collective work of awareness and rallying people to do collective work, which was the thing that the regime fought the most, because it really targeted organized work and collective work, and this was the biggest enemy of the regime. The youth movement of Daraya in 2003 organized small campaigns against bribery, against corruption, unauthorized, because anything in Syria you have to get permission for from the security apparatus. And what they did is they said, we will not ask for permission, and we will do it as an act of resistance. But really, they were trying to build, you know, a sort of a civil movement, which was obviously, like every other movement in Syria, was crushed. 18 of them were arrested, and they had martial trials. Some of them got sentenced to 2-3 years. They got out, and now when the uprising started, they got active again, and were organizing nonviolent demonstrations. They had this big commitment to nonviolence, and they were giving roses to people and to the soldiers to show, like, we're not the enemy, we're all together, we're all for the same cause. But this was also met with extreme repression and violence. My friend is now in jail. He was ambushed on September 6th with a friend of his. His friend was given back to his family as a body, tortured to death. His name is Ghiyath Matar. He has become a symbol of the Syrian revolution, this man, because he was deeply committed to nonviolence. Obviously, I talk about nonviolence in Daraya, but this is not the feeling at this point. Now we're talking more of a civil war. We're talking about people arming themselves to defend themselves, and where the balance of powers is completely unequal. You have a few people who deserted from the army and some also civilians who took up arms, light arms, and are met with bombardment and shelling. So this is the situation right now.
Right. We've seen the Assad regime, the Syrian regime, really, violently go after, opponents of his regime. And, now the city of Homs is undergoing constant bombardment. Do you know, have you heard from anybody in that region
or in that city?
We have a lot of friends and activists here in Montreal who have family still there and who try to contact them every day. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work because phone lines are often cut. People are outraged. Civilians have no refuge, have no medication, have no hospitals. Hospitals have been bombarded. So they're just left there to wait for a bomb to fall on their head. They can't even leave the city. Some of the people that tried to leave the city were either killed or severely injured. So it's a crisis. It's a real crisis.
Right, and the work that the Syrian Collective here in Montreal has been doing on the streets, I mean, a lot of awareness, a lot of demonstrations to raise awareness about the situation in Syria before it really became a big news item in the last few weeks or months. Now, how did that work happen, and how hard was the work for you?
It was sort of a spontaneous thing that happened. Many activists who had the Syrian cause at heart and the Arab Spring at heart, I think, in a general context, once the Syrian people started moving, we ended up connecting right away between each other and trying to form a sort of a group that can raise awareness, first of all, and talk to the media, inform the general population and inform the media of what's really happening, because Syria was living under an embargo of media. The journalists were not allowed, and journalists have become actually a target of repression in Syria. We've heard of many international journalists who were detained and even tortured. So they were the enemy, because the Syrian regime did not want the world to know. But what we're witnessing now is a new era of journalism where the citizen has become a journalist. What the son Assad has tried to do is imitate what his father did in 1982, where his father completely isolated the country and committed the massacre of Hama, where two-thirds of the city of Hama was completely crushed. At that point, no journalist was able to go and report. Robert Fisk was one of the only journalists who was able to go and report of the disastrous crackdown and the destruction of the city. But very little was out to the world. But now, from the first day of demonstrations, the first demonstration in Syria was recorded on a mobile with a man speaking very low, saying, "This is the first act against this regime. We will all together bring this regime down." And this man was actually an Alawite who was speaking with an Alawite accent, saying, "Sunnis and Alawite, we will all bring this regime down." So it started as a non-sectarian, popular movement, which obviously with this violence has transcended into something else, because now people just want the killing to stop. Even though I think the Syrian people have come to a point of no return, absolutely no return to what they were living. So all of this was happening. So the people in Montreal who have families, who are activists, who hold the values of freedom and dignity to heart, started meeting and demonstrating to raise awareness. And we tried to reflect also what's happening in Syria. In the beginning, we tried to, even with our slogans, try to match what's happening in Syria. When the people of Syria were not asking for the downfall of the regime, we were not. We were trying to stay true to what's happening in Syria. And eventually, the violence escalated, and we were obliged also to tell stories, horrific stories of torture and death to the media of what's happening in our homeland. At some point, also, we felt like demonstrating was not enough.
You said earlier that you used to return every year. Now, have you been able to return over the last year, and are you hoping to return again in sometime in the near future?
I think it would be a little dangerous for me to go at this point, because I think I am not afraid, except I want to be beneficial to the Syrian people, and I want to be able to help. If I go and I just sit in prison in Syria, it will not help the Syrian people. I think I can add more to their struggle by echoing their voices and getting their message across, being in Montreal. However, I do wish to go back. I do wish to go back, but I think the going back will be a very sad episode. It's not... I don't think the Syrian people will just celebrate the downfall of the regime. We have a lot of scars to heal, and we have it's a people that have been injured so deeply, and there's a long period of work that has to be done after this, the fall of the regime, which is, I think, inevitable. That it will fall. There is no way. It has already fallen de facto. It has no authority. It has no legitimacy. This regime has ruled by fear and violence. And the wall of fear has broken in people's hearts. And this will never be built again. And as long as the people still have the courage and the power to go on the streets and claim what they have claimed for the last 11 months, this regime will never be able to win this war. You cannot go against the people. The people will always win.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Bushra.
Thank you.